once and now you've been my heroes too.
With your incessant talking,
you're becoming a pest. Rabbit, 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 rabbit.
Yep, yep, rabbit, yep, 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 rabbit,
rabbit,
bunny,
jabber,
rabbit,
yep,
rabbit, rabbit, bunny,
rabbit,
jabber,
jabber,
rabbit,
rabbit, yep, yep,
rabbit,
rabbit,
bunny,
bunny,
yep,
jabber, rabbit.
Chaz and Dave there, of course, with the classic song Rabbit. This month on an extended British hour, we're in the nation's capital city of London. Londinium, as the Romans named it. A shithole, as the Northerners named it. Yes, if the factual documentary Mary Poppins is to be believed, London is the home of chimney sweeps, protesters, runaway children and bankers. And there are certainly more than a few bankers knocking about. So, what are we going to do to amuse ourselves in London? Well, we're going to steer clear of the local urchins and beggars, and we're going to go sightseeing on a topless bus tour of the sights and sounds of our capital city. So get your tits out, because here we go, and we've got a lot to see. Welcome to our guided tour of historic London on this topless double-decker bus, where we'll take in some of the iconic landmarks and attractions of this famous city. If you look to your right, you'll see the Millennium Dome, a huge money pit built at great public expense, essentially for a James Bond film. It's a huge metal tent that was opened to the public for the Millennium on the 1st of January 2000, and over 40 people went to see it. It's the largest single-roof building in the world, and is tall enough to accommodate Nelson's Column. But then again, so was Josephine. Coming up on your left, your left, is Buckingham Palace, but we can't stop outside, so we'll have to keep driving around this roundabout while you look at it. Tourists love to watch the changing of the guard ceremony at 11:30 a.m, which is when the guards nip off for a quick smoke break. Buckingham Palace was built by the first Duke of Buckingham in 1702, and it was originally intended as a country mansion, but then the Victorian beggars and the local slums expanded and engulfed it, so it now sits in the middle of the city. Most of what you see today was only added in the 1850s. Well, I say only added in the 1850s, but that still makes it older than America, young whippersnappers. Buck House, as the local paupers refer to it, was bombed 7 times during the Blitz, but escaped serious damage. A famous newsreel from the war shows a pilot ramming a German bomber off course as it lined up a run on the palace, and the brave pilot survived, and his plane's engine can be seen in the Imperial War Museum. Sit tight as we make our way to the next attraction. Looking to your left, your left, you can see Cleopatra's Needle, an obelisk that was quarried at Aswan around 1475 BC and dates from the reign of Pharaoh Thutmose III. It was erected at the city of Heliopolis, where hieroglyphs were added by Ramesses II, but it wasn't referred to as Cleopatra's until the Romans moved it to Alexandria in 12 BC, where it fell over and lay buried in the sand for 2,000 years before it was given to the British following their defeat of Napoleon in 1878. If you look over to your right, your right, you'll see Trafalgar Square, which was built between 1829 and 1841 to commemorate Lord Nelson's victory at the Battle of Trafalgar, and it's now used for gay and lesbian marches. Recent tourists and the local urchins have been banned from feeding the pigeons, and not before time, dirty bastards, pinching food from people, shitting all over the place, and the pigeons are no better. As a thank you for helping them during World War II and protecting their royal family in exile, Norway have sent a Christmas tree to Trafalgar Square every year since 1947. We actually use a fake one and let the local street people burn the real one for warmth. Trafalgar Square, though, is dominated by Nelson's Column, which stands 185 feet high with a 17-foot statue on top of it. The base depicts battle scenes from Nelson's famous naval battles done in bronze. They would have used a more precious metal, but the local street children would have stolen it. Hold tight. If you look over to your left, your left, you'll see what appears to be a huge tit. This is actually the roof of the famous St. Paul's Cathedral. Originally made out of wood and burnt down in 675 AD, it was rebuilt before being ransacked by the Vikings in 962 AD, and was again rebuilt, but this time in stone. The fourth building was known as Old St. Paul's and was started by William the Conqueror after the Norman Conquest, and it suffered fire damage in 1087 and then a further fire in 1136. That set the builders back many years, and it was finally finished 200 years later. Old St. Paul's was quite an accomplishment in its day, and it was the largest medieval building in the whole of Europe, boasting the tallest spire in the world, until a few centuries later wear and tear allowed it to crumble, before Henry VIII's dissolution of the monasteries meant it was soon stripped of all decoration and most of the surrounding buildings were flattened. If that wasn't bad enough, a lightning strike took the spire out in 1561, and James I started to renovate it, but he had to stop during the English Civil War. Then a certain little fire started in a baker's shop in Pudding Lane in 1666 and grew into the Great Fire of London and again burned it to the ground. Over to Christopher Wren then, who designed and built the building that we see today, which was begun in 1675 and completed in 1708. It has the largest dome in Europe and is the only domed cathedral in the whole of England. The Whispering Gallery has a bizarre acoustic effect, which means that everything said on one side of the gallery can be heard quite clearly on the other side, 107 feet away. There are many famous people interred in St. Paul's, including Lord Nelson, whose black sarcophagus sits directly under the dome and was carved from the wood of a beaten French warship. Well, they would have had plenty of material to choose from. Off we go.
Regime, it made you a moron.
If you look to your right, no, no, you're right, you can see the Thames flood barrier, which was built in 1982 to stop the river from flooding London, and allegedly it has saved the poor street urchins of old London town over 70 times. Each of the steel pillars sits on the riverbed and is over 5 stories tall. Up ahead is the Houses of Parliament, or Palace of Westminster as it's also known, which has occupied the same spot since 1016. The oldest surviving part of the building is Westminster Hall, which was built by William the Conqueror's son in 1097, after he moved his royal residence from the Tower of London. On the green outside the hall is the statue of Oliver Cromwell, who was sworn in there as Lord Protector in 1653, and it also served as the country's highest court until the mid-19th century, holding the trials of Charles I, Anne Boleyn and William Wallace, among others. But perhaps the most famous case was that of Guy Fawkes, who was tried for treason in the Gunpowder Plot. The very first Parliament meeting was held in 1295, but its powers were limited because at that time the country was still ruled by the king. When a fire gutted the building in 1529, Henry VII moved to St James's Palace and turned the building over to the politicians. The house was split into 2 sections, the House of Lords and the House of Commons, and again a fire, this time in October 1834, burnt most of the palace to the ground, so most of what you see today is only 170 years old. The newest parts of the building are distinguished by 2 tall towers, the Victoria Tower at one end and the world-famous Big Ben Clock Tower at the other. Big Ben is not the name of the tower, or even the clock, but the name of the bell itself, that first chimed in 1859, and its size means that it's got an enormous dong. Let's go! If you look to your left, no, no, your left, you'll see number 10 Downing Street, which is the home of the Prime Minister. The first Prime Minister to live there was Sir Robert Walpole in 1735, although his title wasn't actually Prime Minister, because following Oliver Cromwell's reign, the Crown was still in the process of handing power to the people. His official title was First Lord of the Treasury, though he's generally regarded as the country's first Prime Minister. Next door you'll see number 11, which is the home of the Chancellor of the Exchequer, and has been ever since 1828. Sadly, you can't walk along Downing Street anymore, and in the past, protesters like the suffragettes have chained themselves to the railings outside number 10. Following the 1989 IRA bombings in London, Margaret Thatcher increased the security, and the closest you can now get is a big iron gate at the end of the street. So sometimes the terrorists do win.
You are the only one. My heart is blue. My heart is blue for you.
If you look to your right, no, no, your right, you'll see the famous Tower Bridge, which is an iconic image despite only being around 100 years old. It was built because, as the population increased and spread eastwards, there was nowhere nearby for them to cross the Thames, so there was a contest for people to design a new bridge. As the docks were still in use, it had to allow the passing of tall ships, and also had to allow cars to cross the river. The contest was won by Horace Jones in 1884 and consisted of a bridge with 2 200-feet-tall towers. The central span was split in two and it can be lifted clear of the water by 2 huge engines in less than a minute. Alongside Tower Bridge, you can see the Tower of London, also known as the Bloody Tower, because it's next to the fucking river. The ceremony of the keys is the traditional locking up of the bloody Tower of London, and has taken place on each and every fucking night, without fail, for at least 700 frigging years. This is important because although the monarch no longer lives there, the crown jewels do. The bloody tower was built by William the Conqueror after the Norman conquest, and for 900 years it was used as a palace, a prison, a royal mint and an execution yard. Traitor's Gate is dry today, but back in the Middle Ages the boats would stop there and drop off the prisoners who would be taken to the bloody tower. The fucking prison has held many famous people, including the Bishop of Durham in 1101, Guy Fawkes, Sir Walter Raleigh and Sir Thomas More, but perhaps the most famous prisoners of all were the so-called princes in the tower. When King Edward IV died in 1483, his sons were locked inside the tower for safekeeping, but they mysteriously vanished a short time later, and their uncle, Richard III, inherited the throne. The skeletons were found hidden in the building 2 centuries later, and exhumed in 1933. Henry VI was almost certainly murdered in the Wakefield Tower. The tower was used for executions during World War II, when German spies were shot there. And the last political prisoner was Rudolf Hess in 1941 after his flight to Scotland. A short distance from the tower is Tower Green, where, among others, two of Henry VIII's wives, Anne Boleyn and Catherine Howard, were beheaded. Getting near the end of the tour now. Hold tight.
So blind, I'm walking around a circle, about to lose my mind. The way you got me, you're rolling about again. Can't do my homework in the morning. Can't do my homework in the morning. Can't do my homework in the morning. Can't do my homework in the morning.
If you look straight ahead, you'll see perhaps London's most prestigious building, Westminster Abbey, the setting for coronations, state funerals, and the burial place of many kings and queens. Founded in 616 AD when a fisherman saw a vision on that spot, a shrine was kept until the 730s when some Benedictine monks built an abbey. Edward the Confessor ordered the construction of a better building in 1045, and it was consecrated a decade later. Just a week after his death. Henry III then knocked it down and started again from scratch in the mid-13th century, and Richard II completed it 260 years later. Religious persecution throughout the 16th and 17th centuries meant it fell in and out of use, but its royal connections kept it safe from destruction, and by the mid-18th century it had risen to be the third highest seat of learning in the country after the universities of Oxford and Cambridge, though it had a better rowing team than both of them. William the Conqueror was the first king to be crowned at Westminster Abbey on Christmas Day 1066. The famous coronation chair has been used at every British coronation for 700 years, but ironically has never appeared in the soap opera Coronation Street. Westminster Abbey is also famous for its funerals. Every king and queen from Edward the Confessor to George II can be found inside the grounds, with the exception of just two, Henry VIII and Charles I, who were both buried at Windsor. Oliver Cromwell was given an elaborate funeral in 1658, but was later dug up and hung from a nearby gibbet when the monarchy was restored. Charles II was so angry at Cromwell that he left his head on Westminster Hall for 25 years until it finally fell off in a storm. Charming. If you look in your guidebook, you can see a picture of the original 1831 London Bridge. By 1962, the bridge was too weak to accommodate modern traffic, so it was sold by the City of London. The buyer was Robert McCulloch, the chairman of McCulloch Oil Corporation. He bought the bridge to act as a tourist attraction in his retirement village at Lake Havasu City, Arizona. The bridge was dismantled, and each stone was numbered and a slice taken off it, which was then shipped to America and used to clad a simple concrete structure, which took around 3 years before it was completed in late 1971. Once finished, a canal was dredged beneath it and flooded to create an island served by the bridge. It's famously rumoured that McCulloch bought the bridge in error because he thought he was buying the much more prestigious Tower Bridge, but that rumour was denied by both McCulloch himself and by Ivan Lukin, who sold the bridge. But they would say that, wouldn't they? Pillocks. The bridge's relocation was the basis of a 1985 movie called Bridge Across Time, also known as Arizona Ripper or Terror at London Bridge, about a series of murders in Lake Havasu thought to be committed by the spirit of Jack the Ripper, whose soul had travelled to America in one of the bricks. Could happen. Well, we've reached the end of our topless bus tour of London now, so I'll just get dressed again before we disembark for the final attraction. Here we are then, and for this final part of the tour, we'd like to encourage our visitors to take part in a traditional British custom. If you look behind you, behind you, you'll see a container full of shoes. There should be enough for 3 shoes each, so don't worry, you'll all get your turn. Once you all have 3 shoes, turn and look behind me. Behind me, and you'll see the Iraqi embassy. Now, if you all line up on the pavement, when you're ready, you can throw your shoes at the Iraqi embassy. On 3, 1, 2, 3, throw! Next month, we end our British Hour tour of the UK and return home to where it all started. Back to Manchester, the real hub of the UK. So don't miss that, because it could be a little bit special.
Right! Who threw that?